Hi, Vikram.
Hi, Rachel.
Oh, yeah, it's Rachel. This is In The Grow. We do this literally every time. Today, we have some special guests, and we're actually in the studio today.
It's new and
different. For the first time ever.
In three and a half years.
We've literally never recorded in the studio.
Nope.
We always would be in Vikram's office or most recently in my home studio. Mm-hmm. Good times. We're still doing this pretty much guerrilla style, though.
Oh, yeah.
And today, we're excited because we have some guests from Sustainable Food Center and La Cocina Alegre.
Yeah, and it's such an honor to have y'all with us. We, you know, I've heard a lot about your program. We're excited about hearing more about it. So
yes.
If y'all want to introduce yourselves,
yes, please.
Start wherever you'd like.
Let's start with Jack.
Hi, my name is Jack Taylor. I use she and they pronouns, and I am the Happy Kitchen West Texas coordinator.
Awesome. And we also have...
I'm Sarah Castro, and I am Sustainable Food Center's West Texas program manager.
And they're saying West Texas because Sustainable Food Center is out of Austin. Is that correct?
Yes. Sustainable Food Center is based in Austin and has been there about 50 years. And we recently started growing a branch here in Lubbock.
Which is very exciting. And we're going to talk more about that after we introduce our last and also important guest.
Hi, my name is Matthew Gideon. I am the West Texas Program Associate for SFC West Texas.
SFC. He's got the acronyms
going. Yeah, no, it's good.
It is good. Well, Vikram and I wanted to have y'all on because we started In The Grow partially because, you know, I'm still not a very like financially stable person. I'm not afraid to admit that. We all have troubles in life. And as a college graduate, I did not have any money when I first graduated, and I wanted to supplement my food and cooking because I love to cook. Vikram loves to cook, too. We talk about food all the time. That's why we started growing, and I feel like these programs line up directly with that same sentiment, so we want to hear all about them. Tell everyone. Share the good news, right?
Woo. Well, I can start with the newest program that we have here. This is Jack again. Is the Happy Kitchen, La Cocina Alegre, or THK LCA. It has started in Austin 25 years ago, and it works to bring people into community as well as to teach and prioritize education on nutritional foods. Maybe think about how we cook in a different way, not changing what people cook, but like adding to it. And giving people the tools that they may need to learn how to cook or cook better for their families.
More vegetables.
More
and
vegetables.
Things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's fun that you say that. Sorry, I'm totally bogarting
no,
this
no,
today.
No, go ahead. You go
but
for
I have
it.
A friend that I've recently started doing gigs with, and he's told me, I know how to cook chicken and rice. And I started feeling really bad because I wasn't eating any vegetables because I just, that's what I know how to cook. And I was like, dude, throw some vegetables in a pan with some butter and some seasonings, and it's going to make your life so much better. It's going to make chicken and rice so much better.
Well, I think that's such an important piece of this puzzle, too, because you know we talk a lot about and we work a lot in food sustainability through research, through whatever else. A lot of my career has been in that, but whether working with farmers markets or community gardens or whatever else, the produce, the food itself is one step in the chain, but something we certainly found through some of our work we did with both the local farmers markets and community gardens is people are like, oh, cool, I've got X, Y, and Z vegetables, but I have no idea how to interface with them, right? I have no idea what to do with them. So I think it's so cool that y'all are doing that because that fills in that education knowledge gap. Mm-hmm. So we've got, you know, the one part of food insecurity is the food itself, but another part is the knowledge of what to do with it. And I love that program so much. Yeah. That's super cool.
And y'all are really doing a lot of work in places in town that are food swamps or food deserts, and people are food insecure. I think a lot of people in Lubbock that maybe aren't a part of like the East Side community forget that there are people in our city that are struggling with having fresh food and how to cook it. Maybe they didn't grow up eating this kind of thing because it wasn't available to them.
Yeah. It's also our north side too.
Yes.
Our predominantly Latino and Black communities are faced with that the most.
Yes.
But it is spread throughout.
Yeah.
Economy,
even
class, and
right downtown.
Yeah, downtown, like, especially too. Yeah. The other thing that our class does is we try and bring people access to mm-hmm. food. So we talk a lot about Double Up Food Bucks and our WIC voucher program, Farmers Market Nutrition Program, to ensure that folks can
buy fresh food.
Buy fresh foods.
Which is amazing. I think a lot of people that don't use WIC or have never been on SNAP or something, they don't realize that that is a challenge.
Yeah.
I've been on it. In the past, yeah. Yeah. And there's no shame in that. I think people need to get rid of that stigma as well.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of stigma, I think, still surrounding that.
That's one of the biggest reasons why I was so excited about this work from the beginning. I had, before I moved to Texas, and I guess probably for the first year that I was here, I was on SNAP benefits. I had a child my second year of college in California. I was 23, 22.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way I could have fed him in a nutritious way.
Yeah.
Off of the income I had at the time. So using SNAP benefits to me made it possible for me, made it possible for me to finish my education, mm-hmm. for me to get out of that situation. And then now I look at my work as a way of, you know, giving back to that advantage I got.
Yes.
And the help I received.
Absolutely. I can tell that this means a lot to you.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I think that people that have had this experience, they understand that and they identify with what you're talking about. And
yeah. And so I just want to just touch on what our Double Up Food Bucks program
yeah.
is. We're mentioning it, but we haven't
yeah.
talked about like what it actually is. And
Double
what it
Up
means.
Food Bucks.
Double Up Food Bucks was the first program that brought Sustainable Food Center to this area. So it actually started here in about 2017. It started with somebody from Baylor, decided to bring it together with a bunch of farmers in the area, and they got it going. And then the person who started left, and then it kind of was going through some issues, and then the grant funding was going to end, but they still needed an outreach coordinator for like the last 6 months. So I got 15 hours a week working for this organization in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That was paying me to run the program, but I didn't want to see it die. So eventually, right at the very last minute, I was able to secure a grant with Sustainable Food Center. And then I slowly just like grew on them like fungus until they were like, okay, we are now in Lubbock, Texas, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's, and then now we are a team of four. We're about to be five. Yes.
Good. It's growing.
Yes, it's growing. And so what Double Up Food Bucks does is we match dollar for dollar what a person spends on their SNAP card at participating grocery stores. It's up to $5 a day. And we're at, up until like this month, we were at two United grocery stores, one on Parkway Drive and one in Brownfield.
Mm-hmm.
We just expanded to the Amigos on 19th Street and the United on 50th Street.
Great.
And then one in Plainview and one in, sorry.
Leveland.
Okay.
The other L.
The last one is in Leveland. It's great that you guys are serving the rural communities around Lubbock because they get neglected
on,
a lot. And
absolutely.
This is, y'all are doing great work. I'm just going to be your cheerleader the whole episode. You just keep talking about it and be like, that's great.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to also just finish with the farmer's markets that we're at.
Cool.
And so we have Double Up Food Bucks. And at the farmer's markets, we match up to $30 a day.
Wow.
And that's at every market. So if you were able to market hop, like you could go to the Wolfirth Farm in the summer to Wolfirth, and you could go to Juicy Lucy's in Idaloo, then you could go to the Lubbock Downtown Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
And each time that you spend a dollar, we'll match it with a dollar. So you could turn $90 into 180.
180.
Wait, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Into 180 in one day. And that is, so you can purchase things like meat and eggs and bread and all, and even vegetables with your SNAP card.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Double Up match is only for fresh fruits and vegetables that are locally grown by a local farmer. So we're supporting the whole system.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. And then that's really good, especially if you have a large family. That would come in handy. I mean, I grew up with like four or five brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. I say four or five because things change, right? Like people move around. But it costs a lot to feed some growing kids, mm-hmm. especially teenagers.
Yep.
And that would be amazing. And then Wolfirth's Farmers Market is open all year round.
Yeah,
so
it's
even if
huge now.
Yeah, even if you're not going to hit all three when they're all open, you can go to that one every Saturday of the year, which is such a boon to this community. Yes.
Yeah. And Juicy Lucy's is open all year and weekly, every day. Like almost really? Every day, six days a week.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. And they have apples and mm-hmm. fruit.
Yeah.
I think they even have apples right now still. So.
Oh, that's
right.
Cool.
Yeah. So Juicy Lucy is a farmer who had a farm here for many years. Mm-hmm. And then she partnered with Idaloo Harvest. And she brought her greenhouses over and they're giving her a part of the land to farm on. So she's growing her vegetables and selling them there at that farm or
at
that orchard.
Get out more.
I mean, a lot of people don't know. That's why I love this opportunity.
I have been out there. It's just been a long time because I stay home all the time.
If it's okay, I'm going to let Matt. You talk about the WIC voucher program.
Of course.
So the WIC Farmers Market Nutrition Program is a supplemental nutrition program where individuals who are on WIC can get these packets of $30, about five vouchers worth $6 a piece per dependent listed on their WIC shopping list. So if a mother was to go to her WIC clinic appointment, she would receive a shopping list with, you know, a list of the amounts of food that they could get and where they could get that food. And they would also have a list of individuals pertaining to their age, whether they're an infant, whether they're a child, whether the mother's postpartum or breastfeeding. And they can take that shopping list to the farmer's market at the food access booth. We would give them about $30 in those $5, $6 vouchers per dependent that they can use to buy fresh fruits and vegetables at the farmer's market.
Awesome. That's so great. I'm like, keep telling us everything. Yeah. That's
that program is administered by the TDA, so they're very strict about the fact that that's grown by a local mm-hmm. farmer. Mm-hmm. So that you can't use that to buy something that somebody's reselling at the farmer's market. And it has to be, like, the process of a farmer applying to receive those vouchers is a lot for them to be eligible, but it's in addition to their WIC benefits that they're getting already. So a lot of people ask that question, like, is that going to affect what I'm able to buy at the store?
Yeah.
No, like it's in addition and it's seasonal. It's one time a year. Mm-hmm. But if you have three kids and you're pregnant and they're all under age five, that's, you know, quite a bit of extra money throughout the rest of the season that you can use at the farmer's market.
Yeah. And for all of these, they don't, outside of the WIC, they don't expire. So you don't have to use everything all at once.
Okay.
So if you got out $10 of SNAP, you would have your $10 match. If you spent $8 of that match, you could save those bucks, that script, that was we call it, and use it the next time you go to the farmer's market. And same with the WIC voucher. You have your coupon book, and you can use that the next time you go and visit.
The WIC, though, is seasonal. So we'll be starting in April this year at the farmer's markets that are participating. And then you can get them from April through October, and then you can use them April through November. Yep. After that, they expire.
Mm.
Yeah, but not the double up food bucks. They're good forever.
That's awesome. So to take a little bit of a step back, because I don't know if we actually talked about it specifically, what is the mission of the Sustainable Food Center as a whole? Can y'all tell us about your organization? You know, it's something that's grown across the state, and it addresses a lot of the things we've been talking about, but we haven't talked about, for those who are not familiar with Sustainable Food Center, can you just give us the overview, give us your mission? And also, I'd love to hear, you know, Sarah, you talked about how you got involved, but I'd love to hear how you two got involved as well.
Absolutely. So Sustainable Food Center's mission is to transform the food system to nourish our health, land, and livelihood. We envision a just and equitable and regenerative food system where people and the environment thrive. So we're not just thinking about short-term growth, we're thinking about a long-term sustainable means of nutrition, of being health conscious, and also having continuation and growth throughout the entire process.
Yeah. When you're saying, you said you included land, like mm-hmm. it's important. It seems like y'all are championing a lot of things that we suggest to people, like crop rotation, things that are going to keep the land generating these crops for us rather than depleting them because we're trying to do it on a mass scale. Where you can still feed a lot of people like y'all are doing with these sustainable practices.
Yeah, and we try to do this by supporting and working with small local producers and historically marginalized communities mm-hmm. to increase food access, but also because food is like, it's in everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that circle, we work to like work on every point of that circle. When it comes to people's health, the health of the land, mm-hmm. and then the health of the local economies, mm-hmm. and the food system, the local food systems.
Yeah. And we call that the win-win-win, the yeah. three wins, because we're working to support yeah. farmers, producers, our communities who may not have access to food consistently, as well as our local economy, because the money that we spend in SNAP and WIC stays in our community, very localized.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take that transition to start on how I found out about Sustainable Food Center. After college, before graduating, because I didn't graduate until May this last year.
Where'd you go to school?
University of Houston.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm a cougar. And rare.
These are my people, for sure.
Yeah. I took a few years to graduate. I did a couple of terms of AmeriCorps Vista. So I was making in Houston $900 a month for a year, working with a local education nonprofit and doing the good work. And then I moved to Austin the next year and did a Vista Leader term with Feeding Texas, which is our statewide nonprofit organization that connects food banks in Texas. And that is where I learned about Sustainable Food Center. I did some equity work with them. And so fast forward a couple of years, I moved back to Lubbock 3 years ago.
Because this is your home,
right?
This
is my home.
Yeah.
I graduated from Lubbock High in 2013. Aww. And I grew up in Anton, which is 30-ish miles down the road. So I have always cared about, like, what good can I do at home? And I was really tired of being in Austin and not seeing the localized impact that I wanted to see. So I moved home. Languished a bit, did community organizing, and I met my partner at church, and then I went to the community garden that he helps to support, the Booker T. Washington Roots Community Garden on the east side.
Awesome.
And I met Sarah and Jeanette, and I learned about the work that Sustainable Food Center was coming and doing here, which is really exciting. And I went to a convening and learned about the Happy Kitchen, La Cocina Alegre.
I just love hearing the name all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
La
Cocina Alegre. Because we are a bilingual, fully bilingual course. All of our materials are done in English and in Spanish. And we don't have the trained facilitators yet, but we will be having Spanish classes coming in at the very latest in August. So I'm very excited about that. As someone who is Latina mm-hmm. and does not speak Spanish, it makes me sad that I can't do that. But I'm so happy to be able to bring that to our community because it's a really important need.
It is. Felicidades.
Yes, right? Yeah. Seriously, celebrations.
When I think that Spanish needs to be spoken more in Lubbock. Mm-hmm. I grew up in South Texas and I even lived on the border, and my Spanish skills completely atrophied when I moved here, because even when I would speak to Latino people, most of them wouldn't speak Spanish to you. Or maybe they don't speak Spanish because there's not a value placed on it here. And it absolutely should be, because it is part of the culture. And yeah. Texas is a largely Hispanic state.
Well, and I'd like to mention something that I heard a story from my son last night, who told me, he goes, yeah, there's this new person in my school and he doesn't speak any English.
Mm.
And the teacher doesn't know what to do. You know, it's like, and I was like, are there other kids like that? He's like, yeah, there's a few more. There's, you know, and I had like, it's very hidden.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like, it's just, you don't hear about it or see it, but mm-hmm. it's here.
Absolutely.
And people need that language access.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I was talking with a new partner that we're going about to solidify, Buckner Family Hope Center, they named that it's not only Spanish. Like their biggest language are Vietnamese and mm-hmm. It's another language. I can't remember.
Tagalog.
Burmese?
Tagalog?
Probably.
I'm mistaken.
It was a African continent language.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll yeah, so it's not just Spanish, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the work our language access team is exploring in this next year, too.
I think that's great. I would love to see Lubbock be more immersive. Like, it's so blended that it's not, you don't even think about it.
Yeah. And my mom's first language was Spanish, mm-hmm. but it was like that Tex-Mex Spanish. So yeah. It's not proper. And yeah. that's why she didn't really teach it to us.
Right.
But her dad was like punished for speaking Spanish in school. Yeah. So that it's wild that still yeah. came to her.
Yeah.
We have that historic barrier as well.
Yeah.
But I think as part of what y'all do, it's very important, just at a grand scale, but just the way I think about it, because access to food is such an empowering thing. Growing your own food, being able to be a part of healthier eating or just having nutrition in general, it's very empowering for people. And being able to do it in their native languages, being able to, anything we can do to improve access.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of these issues that we talk about are not separate issues, right? Right? It's one issue with a lot of different faces. When we talk about, you know, equity in our communities, and we talk about access to food and resources and services and education, like all those things are tied up. And so improve language access, we improve education, we improve people's access to food. When we improve people's access to food, the other things come with it. You're more able to learn and focus and spend the time on those things. So I think it's just cool that that's integrated into your programs.
Yeah.
And it's a big part of what you do.
It improves quality of life for people.
Yeah. And shows ways people can get involved in their community, whether it be at a community garden or at a class and becoming a teacher, a facilitator in the class. People who, once they are trained and attend a class, they can attend a training and get $450 for teaching a 6-week course.
Wow.
And it's super cool. You have 3 facilitators per class. So that's some extra income for folks, which is cool.
Yeah.
And it's job training.
And it's job training.
It's bringing people in to their community and giving them skills to use in their personal home life, but also then to be able to explore cooking and teaching and education at a more professional level and can lead anywhere.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So I think, that's one of the things. While I think it's very important, number one, if there's hunger, to just, you know, have access to food, right? So I, you know, that's why we love our food bank and our food pantries. If somebody is hungry and that need can be immediately met, it's very important. But there is a systemic change that can happen in a person's life when you give them education, then you give them resources, and you give them that power that you're talking about.
Yeah. So 2 things. You mentioned someone named Jeanette, and then I want to get to how you became involved in this.
Going back to what Jack and Sarah have said, the education portion of everything is crucial, but it's also enjoyable. Like that's what you have to have individuals who not only want to learn, but you also don't want to force them to learn. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to meet that middle ground where it's an enjoyable experience for everybody in order to be fully engaged and to fully retain everything we're trying to relinquish out there.
Matthew, you took the THK class.
Yeah.
So you had to experience that.
Yeah, so being a THK facilitator, I got to see firsthand just how people truly change their perspective after the class. You know, we had individuals come in who were, in another sense, set in their ways with how they looked at their health, with how they looked at their nutrition, you know. And once they left, they had a different perspective of what it meant to be health conscious. They were able to kind of adjust what they were cooking with or how they, you know, viewed food
try
and the mindset
they were
in.
They were afraid to try
before. And just expand their horizons in every aspect. And it was like a day and night comparison.
Yeah.
Everybody went in there with the mindset of, oh, here's this class. I'm going to learn what I learned and then I'm going to leave. At the end of the class, everybody was engaged. Everybody had brought something to the table. They had definitely learned a thing or two. And they seemed like they enjoyed every aspect of it.
Yeah.
And it's such a rewarding experience being a facilitator on top of that, because you get to see that gradual change. You get to see what's being brought to these individuals who may or may not be health conscious or even have, you know, this ideation of what health conscious truly is.
Right.
And it's just overall an enjoyable experience. When I first started working with Jack, she said it was called the Happy Kitchen for a reason. And I 100% stand by that.
Yeah. And that's how you became involved, is you took the course.
Yeah. So actually, I was...
We just made him take the class.
Well, you said that, but I wanted to make sure, like...
In the opposite direction.
Yeah. So I actually was a Texas Tech graduate, and I have a background of communications and media strategies.
Okay.
I was fresh out of college, and I was looking for a career to get into.
Oh, that's a common thread amongst us all.
Oh, absolutely.
Except for Vikram. Rude. I'm just kidding.
And so I actually was recently dealing with the loss of a family member, but I had found Sustainable Food Center, and I had actually interviewed with Sarah. Unfortunately, I was too busy at the time to check my emails, and I missed the chance.
Aww.
But it was a blessing in disguise. Yeah, 2 years later, the position reopened, and I applied. I was like, wow, I remember you. I remember how awesome this program was. I really wanted to be a part of Sustainable Food Center, especially with my background being in food service and the food industry. I was also a financially unstable individual in college. So I was a server. Yep. And I had been around food for a good chunk of my life, but I had never peered into the food access world.
Mm-hmm.
So once I was able to interview with Sarah and learn a little bit more about Sustainable Food Center, I was instantly hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I started as the food access associate at the Lubbock Downtown Farmers Market. And just to go full circle, I was able to, you know, see how we can help these individuals, how we can spread knowledge of what food access really is, help these individuals gain access to nutritional food from a local source. And it was so rewarding just being able to be there and help these people and, you know, just get to be a part of something bigger.
Yeah. Are you also from Lubbock?
Yes, born and raised.
Okay,
born
cool. And even the transplants like us, Sarah, it's really, I think Lubbock has the unique quality that you can see the impact you're having on the community because it has a small town feel, but it's big enough that you can find the funding or find whatever you want to do here and like make it happen. You know,
yeah.
You can find pockets of support. There are little pockets of community within the larger community that are just phenomenal people, which
yes.
is, you know, we're tapping into one right now.
Yeah, it's true. And thinking about that, like one thing that I'm excited about the Happy Kitchen, La Cocina Alegre, is the expansion, the ability to reach out to our rural communities,
mm-hmm.
And to tap into that local support in Lubbock and also in our surrounding communities to help fund programs here. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of conversations, especially in the philanthropic world in Lubbock, about, man, people are sending money to Houston or to these people over here. And one of the things I'm really excited about in the next year is to be able to grow our program to at least three of our surrounding communities, specifically Rawls. There's a community member who's really excited and talking to the city about finding a space for August. And then in Brownfield, because we have a Double Up Food Bugs partner in there, and in Plainview, since we have a farmers market and Double Up Food Bugs partners in United, having these programs support each other and coming up against is really cool.
Yeah.
Yes, and I want to mention that for the Happy Kitchen and for Double Up Food Bucks, we are always actively seeking replication partners.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we want to expand as far as we can reach, mm-hmm. as far as administering the programs. But if there are communities or organizations, even just a small group of people or a farmers market who feels that they have the capacity to bring our programs to their area, we will hand them the toolkit and we will guide them and they can work with us. And we can also work with them to give sub grants from the bigger grants that we get for them to run those programs, simply because we want to replicate and expand. But you need to be there. And
mm-hmm.
so, and we can't be, you know, we're only so much, we can only do so much from where we are.
And the community knows itself better.
Yeah.
If it's run by the community. And
yeah.
I learned about this program because I worked with an organization called Chicanos por la Causa, which is a migrant seasonal Head Start program that is regional. And they are hopefully going to be one of our replication partners in the next few months. So
that's great news. Well, we did mention earlier, well, Jack mentioned someone named Jeanette. Who is this mysterious and probably wonderful Jeanette?
Jeanette is wonderful.
Absolutely.
And mysterious. No, Jeanette was my first staff member in Lubbock. She was the first person that I hired full time to work with Sustainable Food Center here after doing this work for several years by myself. She was basically my, like, knight in shining armor. So yes, Jeanette is our food access coordinator. And
she's sick today.
Wonderful. She's sick. Yes.
Absolutely.
So we would have had
I got her sick.
We would have had the whole staff
crew
in here.
Absolutely.
Which is exciting. I love that Jack kept texting me and being like, somebody else wants to come. But I think, you know, this is a great way for Vikram and I to kind of wrap up what we've been doing the last couple of years and to show that there are people continuing to do really good work in the community. Hey, plant people, it's Rachel. That's where we're going to end the interview for this episode. There is a few minutes of interview left that we will put at the beginning of next week's show. So be sure to tune in next week to catch the rest of this and for Vikram and I to say goodbye and tell you about all the favorite things that we learned and did while making In the Grow. Thanks for being one of our plant people, and we'll be back next week. Bye.